it comes from my mom. I remember in high school, I applied for something and I don't even remember what, it was some program or something and I didn't get it. And I remember being so bummed. I wanted it so badly. And my mom was like, just cold email the leader and like explain why you deserve it, because you do.
Hey, friend, it's David Dubinsky here in New York City. So excited for this podcast with Liz Wessel. Liz is the co-founder and CEO of Way Up, a leading job platform for college students and recent graduates. In addition to offering valuable job search and career advice in this podcast, Liz has been a pioneer and thought leader around cold emailing. Her ideas and work on this has been featured in many, many major media outlets, and I was excited to bring additional ideas around that to you. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Liz. Well, Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So one place I'd want to start is, I love how you've been encouraging people to cold email and just being kind of a pioneer in that. I think like people are kind of one email away, and you've clearly been leading in this area for a while. So we'd love to talk about that throughout the show. But has there been like a good cold email that you've gotten recently?
I mean, I've gotten so many good cold emails over time. I think one of the best I got that is timely, is I got a cold email from someone, this is not recent, it was 4 years ago, five years ago, from someone saying, hey, here's a little bit about me, you know, one sentence, nice and brief. I really want to talk to you about potentially joining your team. Here are all the things I could add value. If I could buy you a grande, like skinny vanilla latte and a venti cup, I would love to do that. You know, sincerely, Ollie Khan. And if you know me very well and have been to Starbucks with me, you know that that's my drink order. So like after being a little bit sketched out, I was like, all right, I want to meet this guy. Sounded really smart. So I went out for coffee with him. I did not let him buy me a coffee, but we went out for coffee and I was blown away, and he ended up interviewing for a job and we hired him. And he was like, for that whole 2 years he was with us, our best performing sales rep by a landslide. And he was just unbelievable and ended up actually leaving Way Up, starting his own company, of which I was, I think, his first angel investor. I certainly, the second he told me he was leaving, I was like, take my money, you know, invested. And he actually, I say it's timely, and maybe it's the reason it's not top of mind. I don't know that I ever would have said this any other week, but was because this week he actually sold his company to iSims for $60 million. And I'm so proud of him because it was a huge exit. And he's just one of the most deserving and smartest and kindest human beings. So it's maybe top 10 best cold emails I've gotten, but it's timely. So I'll say that one for this call.
That's amazing. So he emailed you and then he started working with you and then you invested in his company.
Yes, we've had a lot of companies come out of Way Up. We've had Altru, which is his company, Morty, which is Adam Rothblatt and Nora Apsell's company. We've had Wellery, which is Emily Hockman's company, IO Coaching, which is Nikki Schlecker's company, or Nikki Goldman now. We've had, oh my gosh, Will Wallace's company. I'm totally forgetting the name of that. We've had Lala, which is Michael Weider and Greg Davidson's company. We've had a lot, and I've invested in most of them. Certainly the more venture-backed ones, at least. It's been fun.
That's awesome. So he got your drink. So the kind of the art of the cold email, it's, and I've heard you talk a little bit about it before, is like the subject line has got to be, you know, catchy, and then the email's got to be kind of short and concise. Is there anything else that's kind of come up recently that like kind of stands out to you these days as more and more people?
Yeah, I think more important than even those is that it needs to be very clear that it's meant for you. So showing that you've done your research and showing that you want to call with them for a specific reason is really important. I can't tell you enough. I get a lot of bad cold emails, and I know that's like so arbitrary. It's my opinion that it's bad. Maybe someone else thinks it's good, and that's totally valid. But the reason I don't find them to be very effective when I don't find them to be effective will be typically because that person probably copy and pasted the cold email to me as well as 50 other CEOs or 50 other startup founders or 50 other women in New York or whatever it might be. And that's when it kind of gets a little like, I don't know that I'm going to give you the time of day because I just have a really busy day. Every minute kind of I spend, you know, time is the most valuable asset I have. And so ultimately, if you're not going to even, you know, if 50 other people can help you with the same thing, I don't know that it's necessarily, I need to spend my time on that. So I would say that's typically when I see a cold email that's not so great.
Mm-hmm. And any insights on, like, I love how you talk about how using a cold email to get an answer to a question and any other insights on kind of the follow-up and kind of nurturing relationships over email that, you know, can be big advocates or big helpers to you over time?
I don't know. I'd have to think on that one. I'm not sure, but I would say one thing that definitely is in line with what you're asking about is like, if you do a cold email, if you send a cold email to someone and they help you, whether they get on a call with you or whether they help you via email, of which I've done hundreds at this point, like, I think it's really important for the person who sends the cold email to follow up and not a thank you note. I don't really care about it. And it's nice to send a thank you note if you remember, but follow up on what happens, because, you know, when I get on a call with someone or send an email back and give them advice or give them my thoughts, and that I love when they follow up with me 2 months later to say, hey, I took your advice and here's what happened. Or, hey, you know, I did whatever I told you I was going to do that you gave me advice on. And I'm like, here's the outcome. What do you think now? I love that. And I feel like those are the people I build the relationships with. So I hope that people who send cold emails, if that's a big part of your strategy in life and career and whatever, that you just remember that it's also your job to like follow up. And if you don't, it's kind of doing a disservice to the person you're asking for help with. Just my opinion. Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's been really cool is how I think like you champion your team to send cold emails to potential mentors or people that they look up to. Can you maybe talk to a little bit more about that too?
Yeah, it comes up a lot less these days, maybe because people just do it on their own. I don't have to really champion them. But yeah, I mean, especially I'll tell you, for my direct reports, I'm constantly saying to them like, hey, you know, what are you looking to learn? So if someone reports to me as CEO, my job is to hire people who are infinitely smarter than I am at their domain. And so if not in general, but also at their domain. And so if they, let's say my head of marketing, she's definitely factually, Shayla, better than I am at marketing. So if she says, I want to get help in thinking through retention metrics and reporting, like, I should not help her with that. Maybe I could give her my 2 cents, but I'm not better than she is or more experienced than she is. And so as a result, I say to her, okay, why don't you find companies you think do a really good job at it or have similar types of funnels? And tell me those companies. If I have a CEO friend there, then I'll just ping the CEO friend and ask them to intro you to the CMO. But if I don't, cold email that person. And that's something I definitely have said to my direct reports that I hope that other managers will encourage when they can't make an introduction, will encourage their teams to do the same, because, you know, knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And how did you get so interested, or what do you see that's so beneficial about a cold email and for people to, you know, as they're either transitioning or maybe speak to just, you know, why you got so interested in this idea of just sending out cold emails?
Sure. It comes from my mom. I remember in high school, I applied for something and I don't even remember what it was, some program or something, and I didn't get it. And I remember being so bummed. I wanted it so badly. And my mom was like, just cold email the leader and like explain why you deserve it, because you do. And I was like, no, you know, they already rejected me. And she was like, no, you did not get rejected. Like, you got rejected for now, but like not permanently. Go cold email them. Maybe there's another spot. Maybe someone else who was accepted doesn't take it. So I ended up doing that. And it actually didn't work. But I remember that it didn't work and that I didn't get into the program. But I remember having that moment and that experience be like, wait, why the hell wouldn't I always try? And so I think my mom really instilled that, like, who gives a crap if the cold email doesn't work, just try it mentality. And so I give kudos to Bonnie, my mom.
And it becomes a habit, it seems like, as the more and more you do it, the more and more you get comfortable with it. And
like that first time.
Yeah, I would say it's not the default. You know, if you know someone who can help you, then you should email or call them. But if you don't, then that's the best second, you know, option in my book.
Mm-hmm. And given with your work at WayUp and building the company for so long and stuff, what is some kind of career advice that you think generalists or people that are, you know, that maybe don't have a specific, you know, aren't
career path.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of advice I have for people. It depends what stage you're at, but I would say some of the pieces of advice I would give you is certainly to kind of don't second guess yourself. Like really, I think it shows when you're applying for jobs, it shows in your interviews, if you're not having faith and confidence in yourself. And I know that searching for a job can be terrifying. I haven't had to do it in a long time, but I remember how terrified I was. You're putting yourself on paper and submitting a one page to a company, hoping that they want you when you really want them. And that is like the most intimidating thing outside of dating. And in dating is pretty intimidating. I haven't had to do that in a while either, but it was pretty intimidating. And so I think that ultimately my recommendation is to like have confidence in yourself. And if you can't get yourself to a point of confidence, then figure out why and fix it. So for example, maybe you can't get yourself to a specific level of confidence because you just don't feel like you know enough about the role and you're just shooting way above your weight. Then like, go learn more about the role, spend time shadowing people who are in similar types of roles, read every book and blog and watch and listen to every podcast you can and movies and TV shows and whatever you can to get knowledge about it so that you do gain confidence. I remember before my first internship interview at Google, and I was so wanted that job, I went to the library at Penn and I took out every single book about Google that they had. And I read all of them that weekend. I just sat in my room and read them. And it was like, that was how I was going to learn everything I could about Google. Then I also didn't know anything about marketing. So I went and bought as many books as I could read about marketing. And I went to some marketing classes and just stepped into the room. And I asked friends who'd interned in marketing places. So I just think it's like, you know, find a way to make yourself confident. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And do you, how do you think about kind of showcasing skills beyond kind of the resume or showing, you know, that you can do a certain job or standing out beyond the resume? How do you kind of think about that these days?
I think that resumes are really important. And I think people like don't realize how important they are sometimes. So I would say like, there's a lot, I would say most of my advice would be on the resume. And the reason is just because people just often do. I've met so many good candidates. Oh my God. I met a great CFO candidate the other day. We were hiring for a part-time CFO position and this guy applied and he was so heavily qualified. And I remember he applied and I was just like, I was looking at his LinkedIn and his resume and they were just such a bad representation of him. And it was because of the order he had things and whatnot. And I like emailed him and I was just like, hey, with all respect. And I just gave him advice. And he was like, wow, thank you so much. And it was like, he had the experience. He just did a bad job. So I don't mean to ignore your question, but I do actually think that there's a lot of stuff for resumes and LinkedIn profiles. And I don't want to get into like all the, you know, tactical advice I'd give on here, but I will say there's a lot of people out there that will happily look at your resume or LinkedIn, and you should ask those people and probably don't make it like your friend who you think has a really good career. Cause that doesn't mean they're good at LinkedIn profiles or resumes. Like ask someone who hires a lot of people. I'm sure everyone can think of someone who has hired a lot of people, whether they've hired people to work at a Starbucks as a barista, or whether they've hired people to be sales reps on their team, but go ask those types of people. So I don't mean to ignore your question, but I do think that a lot of people are really amazing and have pretty crappy resumes and LinkedIn profiles.
That was interesting. You said about a part-time CFO. Are you starting to see kind of fractional jobs and, you know, maybe can you maybe speak to a little bit more about part-time work or freelance work and especially for that type of role?
Sure. We have a few fractional leaders at our company, not just leaders, a few fractional people at our company. And usually what we do is when we see that there's a role that we need, I really make sure to like write every single skill that that every single skill is one thing, but every single action that that person has to take at our company. And then I look at, of all those actions, what can be owned by an employee who already is at WayUp, whether maybe they don't have the full skill set that, but they want to learn it. And so, you know, I want them to grow at WayUp versus leave us and go somewhere else. So I'll put that together. And if I don't see that the remaining actions are worth 40 hours of someone's time, which for us, we didn't need a CFO for 40 hours a week. We needed someone who had that skill set, but for 15 hours a week or 10 hours a week, or, you know, I think we averaged around 10 hours a week. So we hired someone part-time. That's how we think about it. We've done the same with design roles. We don't have enough designer work from a product design perspective to really need a full-time product designer. So we hired a part-time product designer. I'm a big fan of having someone who is consistent and who you can trust week to week, day to day, but that doesn't mean they have to be full-time. And it's also a nice way for a smaller business to kind of save money so that you're not fully committing a full-time salary. But you know, you're getting still what you need and giving them, you know, the income that they need, at least for the hours that they're working for you.
And have you seen more of that pop up recently amongst kind of some of your peers?
I don't know is the only answer. I haven't really thought about it too much. Maybe. I do know that on a listserv I'm on for one of our VC funds that invested in us, it's like 200 or 300 CEOs on it. And someone emailed saying, hey, they're looking for an outsourced CFO firm to run all accounting and this and this. And like every single response was like, do not do it. Every outsourced CFO firm like sucks, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that they suck. It was just every single CEO on the thread that was responding was saying that. And then I responded and said, hey, I actually needed something similar. So here's what I did. And I explained, I hired a part-time fractional CFO. And I got like, I think 12 responses from people saying, hey, I'm looking for the same. Can I meet any of the people who you didn't hire? And so I made a bunch of intros to some of the candidates. So yeah, that's all I'd say.
Cool. I just think it'd be so interesting as people like, you know, you're also part-time investor a little bit, right?
I wouldn't call myself part-time, but I invest a little bit on weekends.
And it mostly sounds like you invest into people that have gone through WayUp.
That's a big portion of people I've invested in, but I've done, I was a scout. I was, and I am a scout for the last 4-ish years since 2017. So 2017, 18, 19, for the last 4 years. So I've done 28 investments, maybe 4 or 5 of them from WayUp employees. And then the rest from friends I knew through Y Combinator, friends I knew from Penn, friends I knew from Google, friends I met. I mean, one cold emailed me, it's been fun.
And what stood out about that cold email to you?
She was asking for advice. She actually was not asking to raise money from, I don't think she even knew that I was investing on the side, but she just was asking for advice, and I gave her the advice and really thought she was very coachable and great. And so I ended up investing.
Nights and weekends, weekend investor.
Yeah. I mean, it's really such a tiny part. I mean, maybe 0.01% of my life is spent doing that. So I wouldn't call it part-time, but it's a fun thing. And I love supporting smart people that I know. And I have a lot of smart people in my network, which I feel very fortunate about. You know, it definitely, it's been a fun also to watch other entrepreneurs and CEOs and how they build businesses. And I get inspired by a lot of them. Like there's one company I invested in where the CEO just does so many great remote activities to bring her team together. And we were remote for the first time ever as a business this year. We had had remote employees before, but I think like going into 2020, 25% of our company was remote, and now 100% is remote. And I didn't know how to make that shift. So I was able to learn from some of the CEOs I invested in who'd done that before. So I love it for also learning and becoming a better CEO myself. But yeah, I've made some really good bets and they've been paying off so far. So I feel very fortunate.
Amazing. Congrats.
Thanks.
How do you think about, like with WayUp, you've had a co-founder for a long time and, you know, you've built an incredible business and a great relationship. And maybe talk to us a little bit about thinking about work in terms of like relationships and kind of the arc of a career and how to kind of navigate things as, you know, there's a lot of different options that are out there and
Yeah, sure. So my co-founder, JJ Fliegelman, who's our chief technology officer, is like one of my best friends. He would hate that I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I do get married, he will be my maid of honor. And I don't have an actual bridal party, but if I did, he would be my maid of honor. He's like one of my best friends, my brother. I love him to death. And I know the feeling is mutual, even if he won't say it out loud as much. But I feel so lucky to have him. And I will say, I think one of the hardest things that someone can do to themselves is be a single founder, a solo founder. I don't know how people do it. And I feel very lucky to have him, because to your point about like, this is your baby, I feel like I could never leave. I know that any of my employees technically could leave. I know I can't, and I know JJ can't. And don't get me wrong, neither of us want to. We're actually incredibly passionate about what we do. We focus primarily on helping employers recruit a more diverse early career audience, you know, candidate base. We help underrepresented minorities get hired at companies that they otherwise never would have been able to meet, let alone get hired by. And so I love that. That mission keeps me going every day. And I want to do that for a long time. And so for me, it's not really there's a lot of other things out there I can do. It's like, I love what I do. I was telling you at the beginning of this call, before we started this, I'm technically on a day of PTO, but I just came from a meeting. I have this meeting and I have another meeting after now. Is that a good thing? No, don't get me wrong, but I don't mind it as much as I think a lot of people would, because like, I really love my job. I do know, and I'm sure some people are listening to this thinking like, oh, you're supposed to, you know, have work-life balance and separate yourself. And I do that too. I have days on the weekends where I say no work email, no matter what. But I really do love my job.
So if you find what you love, then it's kind of the rest falls into place.
I think so. For me, I can't speak for everyone else, but for me.
Cool. And as people are, you know, as it's virtual and remote, as we were talking about, anything else that you've seen, and I know it's a little bit of a sweeping generalization, but anything else that you've seen that's been effective for people to find jobs and kind of create their own roles and stuff, as, you know, you can't meet in person as much, and anything that you've seen that has kind of stood out to you?
I mean, there's no shortage of job platforms out there, right? Like if you're early career, go to WayUp. If you're later career, there's Indeed, there's LinkedIn, but AngelList. But in terms of tips, I think people have a lot more time on their hands now, because, you know, many executives are hiring managers. That commuting time is now gone for a lot of people who are working remotely. And so as a result, they might have a little bit more availability. If you want a cold email, or if you want to ask someone to network and just get advice from them, like they might be a little bit more likely to say yes now, because they might have a little more time. I can't speak for everyone, but I think it's just, you know, do all the stuff we talked about at the beginning of this, cold emailing, reaching out, networking, not second guessing yourself. And if you are, then go find people in the job at other companies who you can network with and spend time with and learn from. And by the way, networking is such, I think it has so many negative connotations, at least in my circle. I feel like people often use that word pretty negatively. And so I would say actually don't network in the negative connotation way, which means like trying to get something out of the person, like network in that you're trying to learn something from them, build a relationship, a long-term relationship. Going back to my comment about like, you're going to cold email someone, you better follow up and so on. So that's my opinion.
Awesome. Anything else that you think that we should touch on as people are, you know, finding jobs, pivoting, building out their portfolio careers? Anything else that you think really?
No, I mean, this is like one of the hardest times I've ever been an adult living through because I'm 30 years old. So I didn't go through, you know, I was in college during 08 when everything happened. And in 01, I was in middle school. And so I think that this is a terrifying time. And if you have been trying to get a job and you've been trying and trying and it's not working, like, no, you're not alone. It's a horrible time to be looking for a job for many, not for everyone. If you're looking for, there are some jobs where it's like, whew, it's the best time to get a job. Like if you know how to, you know, engineer a video software, a communications platform, like there's a lot of companies out there, RingCentral and Zoom and Microsoft, and all of them will hire you in a heartbeat. But what I was going to say is it's a really hard time to look for a job. But someone at my company once said to me, do you know what the definition of insanity is? And I said, what? And she said, trying the same thing over and over, doing it the exact same way and expecting a different outcome. And that stuck with me. I think about it all the time. And I hope that people listening or watching, when they think about looking for a job, if you're getting the same outcome over and over, pause. And going back to the cold email or networking, like find someone who is a hiring manager for the type of job you're looking for. Maybe it's not the exact job. Maybe it's just in the industry or at a similar type of company, but go find that person and show them what you're doing and ask, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? And just try to improve on yourself. Because maybe it's just that your resume has a big spelling error and everyone's noticing it and you didn't notice it. And a lot of people reject automatically if they see a spelling error. It's a very common thing. Maybe your LinkedIn profile has something that is just like grossly, you know, inappropriate and you just never thought of it that way. Whatever it might be, I would just say pause and step back and find someone who can help you.
Amazing. Love that. And so if people want to follow up, support, and learn more about your work, Liz, what's the best way that they can learn more?
Yeah, you should definitely follow Way Up. We're on Twitter at Way Up or on Facebook or LinkedIn or all those things. And you're welcome to follow me as well at Liz Wessel, LIZWESSEL.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Liz.
Yeah, thank you for having me, David.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So One Email Away, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the One Email Away section, but just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.